Integrity defines who we are at the end of the day. Integrity is our character, and our character defines who we are and who we're not. Think of it this way. Integrity proves our character, and then it's character that ultimately defines our life.
Hi, and welcome to Live in the Light today, friends, and we're glad you are here, and we're praying that you're ready to hear from the Lord, and specifically, God's Word for each of us today. We love our listeners, don't we, Robbie?
Yeah, we really do, and we want you to know that as well. In fact, it's been recent days, again, I just find myself coming up and meeting many people who tell me they're tuning in to this station and listening and are encouraged, and like, what a blessing that is. And so please know, like, I listen to programs too, and I'm so blessed in it. And sometimes I'll, you know, just forget to even mention that or let people know what encouragement is for us and our team here, because we're doing this that lives would be changed. And so would you join us in that? Maybe we'll send a note today. Maybe God will lead you to do that, right? Just so we can be spurred on. It's very biblical. It's what we do to stir up one another to love and good works and good deeds. And so we love that here at Live in the Light. And maybe you be too. Like, we have this thing called Power Partner, and just Power Partners are joining to shine the light within the darkness. And you help us power up by the Holy Spirit as you decide to give and be behind this ministry. We have no hesitation to ask and invite you, because we believe this is what God is doing at this time. And so we're excited now to be in God's Word together, encourage the people. We're in this series in the Psalms. And I know we're jumping into Psalm 26, a very important topic of integrity today. So again, get your Bibles open or get ready to listen, and may God truly encourage you with His Word today.
All right, amen. We are going to join Robbie in just a second. But as Robbie mentioned, if you would like to drop us a note of encouragement and let us know how God's been stirring in your heart and changing you through this radio program, we would love to hear from you. Or maybe you want to reach out and become one of those power partners that Robbie mentioned. If you'd like to do that, you can join us online at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. Or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. Awesome. All right, let's get at it. Psalm 26, as Robbie mentioned, start here for integrity. Here's today's message.
Now grab a Bible and turn to Psalm 26. I'm just going to go through verse by verse, Lord willing, of the psalm, so I highly recommend you have a Bible open. I have no message apart from what's said in God's Word. Psalm 26 is where we are together. Well, after serving thousands of people around the world and performing more than 400 written case studies, two men named James Kouzes and Barry Posner, they identified those characteristics that were most desired in a leader. So thousands of people worldwide surveyed, 400 case studies, think of the effort that would go into that, and they were surveying, what are the characteristics most desired within a leader? In virtually every survey, this was the result. Honesty or integrity was identified more frequently than any other fruit in what is desired in those who are leading us. Integrity matters so much. Integrity is such a big deal. The world understands that, and trust me, God understands that too. Why is integrity so important? Here's why. Integrity defines who we are at the end of the day. Integrity is our character, and our character defines who we are and who we're not. Think of it this way. Integrity proves our character, and then it's character that ultimately defines our life. When you go to a funeral, at the end of the day, they're talking more about the character of that individual that left the greatest legacy than anything else. More than competency or accomplishments, character is what has the loudest voice through someone's life, okay? Integrity deeply matters to God. Look at it this way too. We're going to hear this a little bit later on in the sermon. Integrity, though, is really our spiritual resume. Integrity, or the character of our lives, is what we bring to the table, again, of who we are. It's our spiritual resume that, again, defines, again, what God has done within our lives. So what's your spiritual resume looking like right now? That will be defined by integrity and character. So that's why then, as part of our Start Here Psalms series, which we conclude today, we're also including this message, Start Here for Integrity, okay? That's our sermon title today, Start Here for Integrity, because it's too important not to. So the Bible's open to Psalm 26. I want you to look at two verses just to start. I want you to look at verse 1, and then we're going to look at verse 11 together. But notice verse 1, it says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity," okay? "And I've trusted in the Lord without wavering." Now look also at verse 11. The same phrase is used as the psalm ends. Verse 11, "But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity, redeem me and be gracious to me." Now when you're studying scripture, there's a thing called an inclusio, okay? An inclusio are bookends to a passage or portion of scripture that can really define all the content within. This can be said about Psalm 26. The phrase, notice in verse 1, in the past tense, "I have walked in my integrity." Then the psalm ends with, "I shall walk in my integrity," is what David's saying, which really tells us the theme and the heart of this psalm is moral integrity. And so right now then, we're going to be looking at this and we're going to be unpacking and asking, what does it mean to walk in integrity? Because integrity defines my life. I got to care about this. I got to care about what integrity looks like. How do I know if I'm walking in integrity? How do I know if I'm not walking in integrity? What does integrity actually mean, biblically speaking, okay? These are the questions we're asking. I'm glad you've asked because this is what we're seeking to answer. So we begin today, Start Here for Integrity, and I'm praying as the message goes on, the momentum will grow with it, okay? Start Here for Integrity, point number one. Let's get into it right away. It's this: my integrity is integral, okay? My integrity is integral. When I'm gonna understand integrity, I have to understand just how integral it actually is. Verse 1, David says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering." So notice this, again, David, who wrote the psalm, he's calling out from God vindication. Now, what does vindication mean here? Vindication is, "Lord, give me justice," or, "Lord, defend my reputation," okay? But notice the reasoning for David desiring the defense or justice of God. In verse 1, if you see, "Vindicate me, O Lord," and the very next word, small little word, "for," okay? Here's the reasoning. Here's the justification for David pleading with God for his vindication. It's rooted in his integrity. "Vindicate me, O Lord, for," the reason is, "I have walked in my integrity." And notice in verse 1, his integrity leads to this, "And I have trusted in the Lord without wavering." Okay? Give me justice, God. I have walked in integrity, and from my integrity, I have trusted you in the ups and the downs, in the storms and the calm seas of life. Integrity matters. You know what the tallest building in the world is? The tallest building in the world is found in Dubai. I believe it's pronounced, it's called the Burj Khalifa. It stands at 128 meters tall. Just think about that. That is over 80% of a kilometer straight up in the air. Wow. Some of you know the building I'm talking about. Some of you don't. Here's a picture of it. You can take a look at it. It's pretty beautiful. It's pretty impressive. It's pretty amazing. You know, it's amazing. This building, world record, 160 floors, has the world's fastest elevator, 40 miles an hour. Wow. Has the highest swimming pool in the world at, I think it's the 79th floor. Right? It's a very, very impressive building to look at. However, the secret to the stability of this massive building, of course, is found underground. Before construction began, workers spent a full year, just digging and pouring the massive foundation that supports the building. The foundation contains almost 59,000 cubic yards of concrete, weighing more than 110,000 tons. The reason the building is safe is because the foundation is strong, okay? If the building doesn't have integrity in its construction, it will not stand. The same is true with our lives as we seek to live this life in Jesus Christ. The impact of integrity upon one's life is that our integrity becomes our foundation. The foundation rooted in Christ that causes us to live without wavering. The reason some of our lives are teetering and about to fall right now is because we don't have a foundation underneath us. We're going to see in this psalm, our lives are built on sand or quicksand right now, and we're beginning to sink because we're trying to live apart from Jesus Christ. This will be your answer and my answer today if we are willing to listen. What does integrity mean then in the Bible specifically? What does integrity mean in the Old Testament? Integrity is this. It's wholeness of character. It's an undivided mind and heart. There's complete devotion to the Lord. That's the Old Testament understanding of integrity. In the New Testament, the words for integrity are like this: simplicity, sincerity of heart, truthfulness, uprightness, or completeness. It's interesting, even the world's definition of integrity found here from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary has three meanings which are really good. Have you ever noticed that the best principles in business in the world really come from the Bible? You ever notice that? So, I mean, God's truth is, of course, universal. It just works. Notice this, integrity: firm adherence to the code of especially moral or artistic values, incorruptibility. Beautiful. You'll find that in Christ. An unimpaired condition, soundness. The person who walks in Christ will be sound. Again, so much like the Bible says. The quality or state of being complete or undivided, completeness. So incorruptibility, soundness, and completeness. Wonderful, beautiful descriptions and definitions on a secular point of view, but also tie so neatly with the biblical understanding of integrity as well. So integrity is our foundation for our life. Integrity leads to our character. Look at how David could petition God in the midst of his clear conscience because he was living a life of integrity. You and I, David, could not petition God in this way if we were living lives that were false. There's too much shame. There's too much guilt. There's too much fear. They're too afraid of being found out. You try to avoid God, let alone approaching him with boldness. But notice verse 1, for I have walked in my integrity. He's saying, my life has been consistent. My life is reliable. Can we say that? Would we be said of, I didn't actually mean to say it literally, but thank you for doing that. Bless your hearts. It's really great. It's really great. Can we say that about ourselves, that we are consistent, that we are reliable, that we are dependable? You know, when a young man, when I came to Christ, I remember really taken up by this concept of biblical integrity. I can't remember exactly why it became such a passion of my heart, but true to this day. I remember a definition I heard when I was first saved of integrity, and it remains so true today. It's just this simple. It's living one life. It's living the same life, whether you're here at church, at work, at home. It's you are who you are, where you are, no matter what's going on. So integrity is, who am I when no one's looking? And then who am I when people are looking? And do those two things match up together? Integrity is a life. Again, there's consistency. There's the reliability. When I began this message with that survey by Kolznis and Posner, they included this. In this survey, employees counted honesty or integrity in their leaders as more important than vision, competence, accomplishments, and the ability to inspire others. The world gets this. Understand the value of integrity. Do we of all people must understand the value and the power and beauty of integrity. For instance, if I just throw out some names or phrases, it's interesting what comes to mind. Let's say, remember Enron? Tiger Woods. It's sad. One of the greatest falls from grace, if you want to call it that, or from pride anyways. How about Watergate? We think of the mortgage crisis in 2008. All of that really was rooted in a lack of integrity fueled by greed and pride, dishonesty and deception. And millions of people are negatively impacted by the accumulation of the lack of integrity seemingly among few. This is the devastation of a life that seeks to live apart from the ways of the Lord, from ways of integrity and honesty and truthfulness. Now, again, employees know what they want to see in their employers. What about the employer of all employers, God Almighty? He's the one who values integrity above all. Just think all through Scripture, right? Have you ever thought about, again, the greatest sermon ever, Sermon on the Mount, started with the Beatitudes. What are Beatitudes? It's just one massive command and exhortation for character after another. Blessed are the poor in spirit, brokenness. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. It's just, it's dripping with integrity and character and honesty and truthfulness. God cares so much about integrity because integrity defines our character, which defines our life.
Hey, listeners, Shannon here. We will get back to Robbie's message in a moment, but I just wanted to pause and ask, did you know that you can catch up with past messages from Live in the Light on our website? Previously aired series are archived there and available to listen to anytime. You can also tune in anytime wherever you get your podcasts. So check us out at liveinthelight.ca. Happy listening. Now let's get back to today's message.
Proverbs 10:9, the screen for you. This is for all of us here right now. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. Man, this is really, really exciting to live this way. Just to know that you're secure in who you are and like in the Lord. This is not so fun. But he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. So we know in a room this size, many people listening to this, okay? There are some here, you are living a crooked life. Two-faced, double-minded, hypocrisy, two lives, deception, lying to your spouse, lying to your kids, lying at work. You're just a different person. You're one person here, a different person when you go. God in his grace is saying to you today through this message, he's giving you a warning right now. He's telling us all this. He says, be sure that your ways are crooked. You will be found out. It's just a matter. It takes a couple of days or a week or a month or a year, whatever it is. It will not end well. But he who walks integrity will walk securely. Super blessed by this quote by Kenneth Boa this week. He said this is very wise. He says, it's possible to live one life publicly and another life privately, but that's not integrity. It's an invitation for God's discipline. And it's true. Now, why would God discipline those who are, you know, living two lives? Well, because he loves us too much not to. Like any parent who's worth their salt will discipline their kids because they love them. And they want to show them between right and wrong. Well, God is the perfect father, and he loves us too much to let us go. So when we seek to live two lives, one publicly, one privately, we're deceiving others. That invites God's chastening or discipline because he loves us too much to let us wallow in our own self-destruction. My integrity is integral. Secondly, my integrity will be tested. Look at verse 2. David says, now prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind. Why? For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I will walk in your faithfulness. Okay, verse 2 kind of blows me away. Verse 2, I'm struck by that. Really so powerful. You could summarize verse 2 as this in the phrase, nothing to hide. I've got nothing to hide, Lord, 3 times in one verse. See what David does? He willingly submits to God's examination. Could you and I do that right now? I mean, could you and I honestly say to God, prove me, try me, test me, nothing to hide. Notice he actually invites divine scrutiny. God, I invite you to prove me, test me, try me. Here's my heart and mind, God. I am hiding nothing. Do you see the power of a life lived with integrity as opposed to a life lived in deception or dishonesty? The life in deception is trying to hide all the time. Don't find me out. The integrity says, it's okay, man. I'm here, even before the Lord. It's like Psalm 139. Search me, Lord, and see if there be any grievous way within me. David said that too. So powerful. And here's David. He says, test my heart and mind. In the Hebrew, that's literally my kidneys and my heart. But in the English, it kind of sounds weird. God, here's my kidneys and here's my heart, right? So we describe it as, here's my heart and my mind, my innermost parts. Everything I am, God, I'm authentic, I'm vulnerable, I'm transparent, I'm filled with integrity. Powerful to live that way. Notice, No pretending, no excusing, no acting, no faking. Prove me, O Lord, try me, test me. Again, are we in that place today? Could we say the same? Could we open ourselves up before the Lord? Could we say, prove me, try me, test me? I invite, Lord, your divine scrutiny and examination. You know, the reality is, many of us, that's the last thing we want. I don't want to pick on men, but I kind of do. But I'm going to pick on women too, okay? But it's amazing to me how many men refuse to be held accountable. They refuse to be known. They won't let themselves be known, because at the end of the day, if you're truly known, you might have to do something about it. And so we live these lives where we shelter ourselves from actual light exposure, because the light exposes the darkness. Do you know in John chapter 3, it says the single greatest reason people hate the light and hate Jesus Christ? In John 3, it says because people love their sin so much. And because they love their sin, Jesus Christ is the light. So Jesus Christ is the light that would shine their darkness, would expose their sin for what it is, that would force them to change. Because they love their sin so much and they love evil, they hate Jesus Christ and they hate light. That explains our whole world right there. Don't give me Jesus stuff. Don't give me the Bible. Give me that stuff, because then it's going to show me the error of my ways, the sinfulness of my heart, and present me with conviction that I actually have to change. So the response is, I hate Jesus. I hate the Bible. I hate the Christian faith. I love sin and darkness. You can read it. It's in John 3. Who of us are here today? We're running, hiding, covering, lacking integrity. You ever thought about how the church in our day, I don't think churches actually, for the most part, intend to do this, but in the desire to be liked by man, in the desire to appeal to a greater audience, in the desire to reach the culture, in the desire to be more relevant, the greatest danger with that is you start operating the fear of man and then you lose the fear of God. When you lose the fear of God and you start appealing to man, what happens is you start saying stuff that men want to hear, that humans desire to hear. And what humans don't want to hear is conviction. They don't want to hear the truth about their sin. They don't want to be challenged. They don't want to be confronted. So you have a church set up that is really designed to make people feel comfortable, to make people feel easy, to not challenge them to change, and to not call for transformation. You know I speak truth. And what happens is you actually have a church operating outside of God's will, because they're not actually preaching God's word. Because if you're going to actually preach God's word, I mean, 2 Corinthians 4:2 says the whole purpose of the word of God is to encourage, rebuke, right, reprove for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and complete for every good work. So when that ceases to happen, you have a church outside of God's will, not honoring the Lord and not giving him glory. This is why when I preach outside, not often, but sometimes you preach another place and you end up there and you start communicating God's word, and the way that people are looking at you, you're like, I don't know if they're used to this, you know? And you kind of get this people like, why is this guy yelling at me, you know? And like, how come he's so fired up, and why is he so excited, and why is he actually pulling us to truth and calling us to change? And you're kind of watching this take place, and inside I'm kind of just like, this isn't going so great, you know? And then I'm like, man, I love our church. I love our church. Bible's open, heart's hungry. How many people desire just to hear what God has said? You know my heart for this? My heart is, Lord, I never want to be the source of offense, but I'm okay if your truth is the offense, because it's your truth, ultimately not mine. So that's my prayer, and pray for me within that as well. But as long as I'm not the offense, and if you are, Lord, then so be it. Because truth by definition is exclusive and will be offensive. But let's be so careful in our day. You see the environment that is being created that is lacking integrity, because it's lacking the very truth of God's word and actually calling people to change. And that's why over the years, I've been pastor here since the very, very beginning. And I've seen over years, you know, I don't know, so many times people, you know, getting up and leaving. And I don't think they're going to the washroom, you know what I'm saying? And they're grabbing their jacket and their purse and their kids. And you know what I mean? So like, they're not coming back. And you watch that happening. You're like, all right, again, looking down and saying, sometimes I'm like, man, what'd I say, you know? But at the same time, it's like, well, Lord, this happened to Jesus. So it's going to happen to others as well who follow him. It's really important, though. Integrity is built within this, man. In our day, it's not a time to slide backwards into the fear of man. It's actually time to push forward with humility and grace towards the fear of God, because that's what integrity does with the word of God. Let's look at this from another angle. Consider how much of our lives is spent on what we might call image maintenance, okay? So living with a lack of integrity, what's image maintenance? The time we spend so much energy trying to get people to think about us in a certain way, in the way that we want them to think about us, okay? So think about so much time in the way we have our conversation. Our conversations so often are designed by us to create an image of us in front of others so they see our good side. No, take this is my good side. Take a picture here, right? And not our bad side, because our bad side would actually reveal who we really are in some ways, and we're human. So our conversation is guided toward our strengths and guided toward our accomplishments. And we spend so much energy building up this false image of ourselves, which isn't even true. It's a lack of integrity. Social media, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is, it's incredible how much time is spent on that, creating an image of our lives, of our families, of our friendships, where all we do is it's one big joy and fun time after another, no pain, no sorrow, no grief, and we're creating this image, trying to appeal to someone to gather identity. It's not even true. It's false. It's false. That's not integrity. How about so much of our money we spend trying to form an image, purchase a certain possession, want to be seen in a certain light, have to be seen in certain clothes, drive in a certain car, live in a certain home. We spend money we don't have to create something, an image that isn't true. How dumb is that, honestly? That is the dumbest thing I've heard in a long time. Dumb, 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 dumb. It is so dumb, right? We are propping ourselves up in a false image. We're spending money we don't have. That is so foolish. Getting into debt, ruining our lives. It doesn't work out anyways. It makes us more miserable in the end. Our marriages start to disintegrate over the stress. We're trying to get approval from people who don't even really like us for the right reasons. For what? For nothing. So much time, energy, money, even this. So much of our effort is spent in trying to please God, in somehow thinking he'll like us more. God, if I do this, if I dive in legalism, if I'm obedient to you in a certain way, if I perform, God, you'll pat me on the back and say, now I like you. What is that? That's anti-gospel. It's called grace. You can't earn it, man. He loves you because of grace. You can't make him love you more. You can't make him love you less. And we go around performing duties somehow thinking that we're going to be better than the person beside us because we're doing certain things and God suddenly approves of us. That's not biblical. That is crazy. It's a waste of time. It's creating false images of ourselves. It's a lack of integrity. You know, we're so desperate for the approval and respect of those around us because we're so insecure. I read this quote this week, Henry Blackaby, so good. He said this, he says, but the great leaders of Scripture never had to insist on people's respect. Why? Because God saw to it that they were given it. Okay, hear what he's saying there? The great leaders of Scripture didn't plead with the people, you must respect me. God is the one who authenticated them. Man, if you can live with faith in that biblical principle, it will save you so much anxiety, heartache. You know, it's like husbands, you want the respect of your wife? Man, like you live a life of integrity before the Lord and it's coming. Like when God authenticates, he doesn't miss the mark. He doesn't miss the mark. It's so powerful to rest in the Lord's ways, not our own. That's integrity. I think about this stuff so often because otherwise I'll become victim to my own fleshly devices and it never ends up well. The power to say, Lord, you know, you authenticate, I can do nothing. Now, how could David say, I have walked in integrity, I've trusted you without wavering? Look at verse 3 now, okay? I want you to see this. He says, for your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. Now notice this, okay? He says, verse 2, prove me, try me, test me. Now that word for again shows up in verse 3. That's the transitional word.
Thanks for listening today. Join us next time on Live in the Light.